He died for you. He died for me. From our sin, He set us free. He loved us so. His life He gave. So if we ask, we can be saved.
Hello, I'm Rick Hurtless, founder of His Gospel Power and author of the book True Freedom. I am excited that you have joined with our broadcast of His Gospel Power. As we look into the Word of God, we discover that God is all-powerful and that Jesus is alive. He operates in our lives on a daily basis. As we go through this study, we will understand as we read the Word that Jesus is alive. Hebrews 10:25 is, "Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, and all the more as you see the day approaching." The day is approaching. Now, this is we're going to get two sermons here real quick. I was going through the grocery store last night, pick up some milk and eggs or something, and some milk and something else for Francis. And I noticed in the Sun magazine, it talked about the last days, and I couldn't resist. I never buy that paper, but I could not resist. They made a couple bucks off of me. But I picked it up. And do you know, it's pretty much on target. Now, they got a whole lot of other junk in there that just throw that out. It talks about UFOs are doing something or not. It talks about all kinds of craziness. But I read that part about the last days. And, of course, they were saying that because there were certain scrolls that were new scrolls that were scripture that was unearthed, that it changes everything. Well, it changes nothing. And basically, all they did is solidify what the Bible is saying about the last days. And that's what the Scripture did. And they just agreed with it. That's all they did. But I thought it was interesting that this secular paper would agree with what the Scripture had said. Now, of course, they're going on all kinds of things. The Mayan calendar. They're talking about the UFOs that are flying around there waiting for 2012 to end so they can take notes of how civilization is not supposed to be. Well, you know what? We're not supposed to be the way we are. We are supposed to be worshiping an almighty God. That's what we were set up for. That's what we were made for. But I don't believe there's any UFOs out there watching us. So you can throw that part of the paper out. But it was very interesting about the last days and all of the earthquakes, all of the things that are happening, even though I am not a fan of climate change or of global warming as a man-made condition. I am a fan of it as that God is going to end this earth, and He's going to do it in such a way. And of course, we've seen the weather has changed over the centuries drastically. In that way, we're not seeing a whole lot of differences. However, it is as the days approach, we are seeing more earthquakes and we're seeing more weather changes that are going on. God tells us we should do that. And in fact, the strange thing about that article or that paper that was talking about the UFOs, it says also in the last days there will be strange signs in the heavens. Pretty interesting, isn't it? Now, I don't believe they're UFOs. I don't even know what the strange signs would be. But there will be strange signs in the heavens. And I just find that interesting that it seems to be escalating now as far as UFO sightings and all of those things. There are strange signs in the heavens. God could come today. That's the whole bottom line here. I believe we are about set up for Jesus to return, which segues nicely into our sermon talk. Jesus is alive. He is alive. He died. He was hung on a cross, brutally beaten and hung on a cross. And He died on that cross. And He was taken down from the cross and He was put in a tomb. A tomb that was supposed to be sealed for all eternity. A tomb with a stone so huge it would have taken five or six people to move it. And Yet he rose from the dead. He's not in that tomb any longer. And in fact, when they came to the tomb, the stone had been rolled away. In fact, it was, you know, just one of the angels came over there and just kind of, you know, flicked that stone and it just moved. It's no big deal. Nothing for God. The stone was rolled away. Jesus was not in the tomb. And he is alive, and because he is coming back, all of these things are happening. Matthew 24 tells us these are the beginnings of birth pains. All of these things that we're starting to see. God is coming back. He wants us to be prepared for Him upon His return. Today we're going to look at John 15, starting in the 18th verse. The world hated Jesus. So if you are walking in the power of Jesus, they will hate you as well. That's not a necessarily very positive thought, is it? It's a funny thing about church to me. Church is not always, the Word of God, the Scripture, is not always what you might quote, say, quote unquote, is positive. Unless you're a Christian believer and know that it is designed to help us to live the abundant life that God wants us to live. You see, in the book of Acts 2:42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And that was the teaching of Jesus Christ. That's what it was. Most of that scripture had not even been written yet. There was probably some little notes that were jotted down. But they didn't have a Bible. They had the Old Testament scriptures that they worked with that were still telling the characteristics of God. But they didn't have the New Testament. But Jesus told them part of their teaching was going to be, if they hated me, they will hate you as well. They will hate you also. Now I'm going to tell you, in these last days, Christians have started doing things right. And how do I know that? Because the world hates us. There was just before the last election, there was a poll taken that said, it was a very high number, I can't remember the exact number, so don't necessarily quote me on the percentage, but it was very high, about 80%, 85% of the people in America they would be anything else. They were asked, what is the least thing you'd want to be? Does anyone have a guess of what that they might have been the response? Evangelical Christians. Not just any Christians. Evangelical Christians. That's us, by the way. That's us. Evangelical Christians are those who purport the name of Jesus, who are not afraid to stand and say, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is alive. They're not afraid of that. That's what an evangelical Christian is. I believe an evangelical Christian could even, usually they are not any, they're not liturgical Christians. In other words, Presbyterians maybe, Presbyterians or Methodists as much as Lutherans, Episcopals, Catholics. They're more of the liturgical, they're more of the pomp and circumstance. Especially, you know, they're not so outspoken for Jesus Christ. Now that is a generalization. It's not always the truth. I mean, let's face it, we know that the Methodists, you know, they were one of the great, for John Wesley, of the evangelical movement of evangelizing the world, evangelizing the United States. Evangelical Christians were the thing that most people in the United States didn't want to be. If they hated you, if they hated me, they will hate you also, is what Jesus said. I believe the church of the last days, which is right now, is beginning to make a little bit of a noise. It's just a little pebble in the lake. Maybe even the ocean. Just a little pebble in the ocean. Funny thing about pebbles, when you throw them in the water, is the ripples kind of start off small. But by the time they get to the edge of the bank, if you've ever stood at a tank and just throw a small little rock in the middle of a tank, just throw that out there, and that little ripple just starts. And by the time it gets to the edge of the bank, it can splash up there. Makes a big splash. Just a little rock. That's what Christians are beginning to do right now. Christians are beginning to speak up against abortion, against the fact that they will no longer allow us to pray anywhere in the name of Jesus. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first in John 15. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, and that is why the world hates you. They know that we are chosen by God. How were we chosen? We accepted His grace. That's as simple as I can make it. If we try to reconcile the two, we can be here for another week or month or years. Or eternity. That's right. That is why the world hates Christians. Is because, I think it's the same reason they hate the Jews. And one, God has really pretty well said they were going to hate the Jews as well, and they do. Isaiah 66, 5-6. Hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at His word, your brothers who hate you and exclude you because of My name. Let the Lord be glorified that we may see your joy, yet they will be put to shame. Hear that uproar from the city. Hear that noise from the temple. It is the sound of the Lord repaying His enemies all they deserved. You see, the correlation is that Isaiah is talking about the Jews and Jesus is talking about the Christians because they are chosen by God. We are God's people. And I believe in a lot of ways people are jealous. Their logical mind will not explain to them why we can be chosen but yet still choose God. And in their logical mind, that makes no sense, and so it's impossible. There's no way that we can be chosen yet have the freedom to choose. And they cast it out as a contradiction and say that it is not true. But yet we walk in a strong faith in Jesus Christ, and whenever we hit adversity, Christians tend to go through adversity and come out on the other side. And they hate us for it because they do not understand the mystery of God. I've talked to many doctors that will tell you if there is some adversity in your health, there is two or three things that will pull you through that. One of them is a strong faith in God. And then, of course, when the healing begins to happen, that's the Almighty God that does the healing. And why would... That's just the way God is. So one of them is a strong faith in God. Number two is your family. It's how strong you are in your family and how they pull you through. And how much as you love each other. A close church relationship is number three. Because of the community that you draw together. Now, I will say, I haven't been around a lot of Muslims or Buddhists or anything. I've been around Christians. I attribute the healings to God and to Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 1 says that God places a piece of Himself inside of us so that we are not without excuse. We can't stand before... So that we are without excuse, I should say. So that we are without excuse, we cannot stand before Him as an atheist and say, well, I didn't know you were real. There are no atheists. There are no such thing. They know in their heart. God says it. He created us. They know in their heart there is a God. Now, whether they are led to the right God or not is going to be another question. Possibly the Muslims are so angry all the time is because they haven't been led to the right God, the God of peace, the Prince of Peace. And they are still striving. So, they hated us, and they still do. They hated us, and they've hated it hated the people of God since the Jews, since the onset of the Jews. Second, you are a servant. John 15, 20 through 25. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name. For they do not know the one who sent me. If I had come and had spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. Now, however, they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them what no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen these miracles, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law, they hated me without reason. Do you see what he's saying here? Do you see that the Jews had no excuse either? I'm talking about the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Jewish teachers. Now make no mistake, when he's talking about the Jews, he is talking about the Jewish hierarchy that knew the law. The priests, the Levites, all of those who studied the Scripture. He was not talking about all of the Jews, because Peter and Paul and all of these others were Jews. Jesus himself was a Jew. But when he talks about the Jews, he says they hated me without reason in his Scripture, but yet the leaders didn't know that. How could they have missed that? Could possibly have they not really read the Scripture as much as they wanted everyone to know that they had read it? Perhaps they were looking at it without an open mind, just looking at the Scripture without keeping that their heart open to God, but only looking at it as to how they could maintain their power. I think it should be a lesson to us that as we study the Scripture, that we study it with an open heart and an open mind, and not for our power, but for God's. Because remember, the Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." But yet God does not want you to utilize that power for anything that does not glorify Him. So as He chooses to give you a gift, whatever that gift may be, the gift of healing, the gift of miraculous powers, whatever that gift may be, He would not want you to wield that gift and say, "Look at me. Come all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will heal you of your adversities." Where it points only to the person with the gift. That's not why God gives them to us. God gives us the gift for His glory and for His honor and for His power. And He gives us His Scripture so that we will keep an open heart that are always pointing to Him. Do not become that Pharisee who only reads the words and tries to twist it the way you want it to be. Judge not, lest ye be judged. That has become the favorite Scripture of the world. Ironic, isn't it? A world who has probably never even read the Bible. If you said John 3:16 to them, they probably wouldn't know what it said. Until just recently, probably one of the most known Scriptures in the Bible was John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life." But instead, nowadays, the Scripture is, "Judge not, lest ye be judged." You see that all the time. And it's taken so far out of context because the so-called Pharisees and the teachers of the world have put it into the context of the world to make sure that whatever it is they're doing can be justified. ironically, as they tell us, judge not lest you be judged, they're judging us. Because I say that something is not right. If I say homosexuality is not right, it is a sin. If I say abortion is not right, it is a sin. If I say adultery is not right, it is a sin. And someone says, well, judge not lest you be judged. Well, wait a minute now. So you're telling me I'm not right. Well, that's right, you're not right. Well, then aren't you contradicting what you're saying? Because you're not allowing me to believe what I believe. It's only a one-way street. Only I have to believe what you believe. You don't have to go the other way. That's a contradiction. Try that sometime and it'll blow their mind. 2 Timothy 3:10 through 17. You, however, know about all my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings. What kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, and the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Did you hear that? Did you get the W word there? The will be persecuted. While evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. You see, what scriptures is he talking about? Oh, well, they've been reading the New Testament all their life then, right? All of these older people that are 30, 35 years old, yeah, they've been reading the New Testament all their life. He just said that they have faith in Jesus Christ through the Scriptures. The Scriptures that he is talking about is the Old Testament. Faith in Jesus Christ resides from Genesis to Revelation. It didn't start with Matthew. It didn't start even when Jesus walked on this earth. That's why God comes against the Pharisees and the Sadducees so much, is because they did not see the salvation of God. They were too interested in looking at the salvation of men and what I can do instead of what God can do. All scriptures God breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the men of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's talking about you, by the way. Ladies too, girls, I know that, when the Bible's talking about man, it is talking about mankind. It is not talking about men only. You do have to exegete the passage as to the context of what it is doing. But in this particular context, when he's talking about so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work, he is talking to Christian believers. And lastly, you have the power to proclaim Jesus. John 15:26-16, 4. When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you may also testify. In fact, I'm sorry, you also must testify. It's a commandment, by the way. It's a requirement of the believer to testify for Jesus Christ. For you have been with me from the beginning. All this I have told you so that you will not go astray. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. Does that sound familiar? I hear it in the news all the time. If it doesn't sound familiar to you, I believe it's called a jihad. They're going to rid the earth of the parasitic Jews and Christians, is what Muslims are going to do. In fact, they are going to rid the earth of parasitic anyone who is not a Muslim. That is the faith in Islam, is that you should, if you are not a Muslim, then you must die. Strange, isn't it, that we are called the intolerant ones, that we are called the haters? Strange. I saw a T-shirt the other day that, I'm not even going to say what it says in church, but the gist of it was, haters are terrible. That's basically what it said. And it's like, I was looking at that shirt. You realize we're the haters. Did you know that? Maybe you didn't know that. Strangely enough, I marvel at men of God and how God uses them prophetically. We saw a movie 30 years ago, I think it was, and it was before the Left Behind series. It was, I can't remember the names of it, The Image of the Beast and those kind of movies. And they talked about the haters, even on that. And nobody had ever talked about the haters. I'd never heard that before. We were called the haters. The Christians were called haters. And now it's pretty commonplace. If you don't believe like the world believes, you are the hater. I don't know if you realize that. I mean, just listen a little bit sometimes. You'll find out that if you do not believe like the rest of the world believes, you are called a hater. If you do not believe that homosexuality is okay, then you are a hater. If you do not believe that a woman should have that a woman should not have abortion, but she should have pro-choice, then you are a hater. Did you realize that? Listen, keep your ears perked up sometimes. You'll hear that. As it continues, it says, they will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. I did not tell you this at first because I was with you. The world hates the Christians because of Jesus Christ. But the good news is, He is alive. And He lives with inside of you. And He allows you to walk in the power of His Holy Spirit, to walk through adversity, to stand high in an economy when they say the economy is not good, you can say, ha! It is as good as my Father in heaven because He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And He will see me through this. And He will help my bank account flourish as long as I do His will, as long as I am obedient to His word. Because of that power that resides in you, the power of the Holy Spirit, faith will make you a mystery to your enemy. Faith will make you a mystery to your enemy. They don't understand our faith. Because when things begin to happen, if you are in Jesus Christ, you still have joy in your life. Now, that's not saying that you're always happy. Those are two different things. But joy in your life and joy in your heart is saying that I know that I will come out on the other side. God is in control. God will bring me through this. It will not defeat me. It will not stop me in my tracks. I keep pressing forward because I have the power of the Holy Spirit in me. I know that it will happen. The most positive people on the earth should be Christians. There should be no negativity in your heart or in your mind. Romans 12 says that we should renew our mind through the power of His Holy Spirit. And that renewing process means we flush out the dirty stuff. And we put in the Word of God that is positive and helps us to continually walk in joy because we know we are the victor. Because Jesus died on the cross and was taken down and was buried and He defeated death, hell, and the grave. And he says that likewise we will do also. It's over. It's done. God has won. And because we are in Jesus Christ, we have won. And because of the uncertainty of the world, they hate us. But because of our certainty to say that Jesus Christ is alive and I know where I'm going, and they don't understand it, it's a mystery. They say, well, you don't know any more than I know. We just go and we hope for the best. No, we don't. I don't hope for the best. I know the best. I don't have to hope. I know the best. Hope is the first stage of faith. Once your faith comes to fruition, you know that you walk in Christ. You know that you serve an ever-loving God. As we look at the world around us, encourage those that you come in contact with, because they're discouraged. Because see, they're looking at the news. They're looking at the stock market. They're looking at the circumstances. They're looking at the unemployment. They're looking at all that stuff and they're like, I don't know what we're going to do. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to follow Christ. Now where it will take me, I don't know. But I'm going to follow Christ. When you make that resolve in your mind and when you make that resolve in your heart, all things are already defeated because we walk in the victory. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name we come before you. We give you praise for you, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You are our Master. And I just thank you, Lord, for all that you are and all that you do. I pray, Lord, that you will continuously guide us, that we will place our faith in you. We know who we believe, Father. We know that you are the one who brings eternal salvation. And I give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining with us to hear the truth about Jesus Christ on His gospel power. This is a listener-supported ministry. If you would like to partner with us, we would invite you to help us financially support this ministry. This ministry goes into households around the world to bring the good news of the gospel and spread hope to those who have no hope. If you would like to give, you can do so by going to our website, www.hisgospelpower.org, and click on Donate. Any amount is appreciated. Even $5 per month will help us to continue to bring the gospel to you every day. You can also go to Amazon.com and order one of my books. The proceeds of the books go to His Gospel Power. If you're unable to give financially, I ask you to become a prayer partner. Go to my website, HisGospelPower.org, and fill out the email submission form. This will allow us to maintain contact with you and pray for your needs as well. God bless you as you have joined our internet congregation. I pray that we can join together and proclaim the gospel of Christ together to reach a lost and dying world. Until next time, I pray that you receive His gospel power today.
Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Just come and praise His holy name. He's calling. Your sin.